The name of the Lord be praised. With the help of the Lord and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, if you'll turn with me to chapter 11 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 11. We all know the story of the flood and all that happened, and we also know the story of the Tower of Babel. When the ark had finally landed, it landed on top of a mountain called Ararat, and that's in Armenia. As this happened, it still was another 150 days before they were able to get out on dry ground. And the Lord told them what they were to do and how they were to do it. Now, in the chapter that we're going to read this morning, chapter 11, we'll begin with the first verse. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. They were all of one language now, everyone understanding one another, able to be unified. They were 500 miles away from where the ark actually started from. But they traveled back to the area where it originally started. And it took over 100 years because they traveled a little at a time, built up a city, did things that were supposed to draw them together. But as they traveled, they learned many things. How to be bricklayers, how to be carpenters. They had to take care of themselves. They were building up a livelihood. Now in the third verse we read, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name. Let's stop right there. And let us make us a name. Let us make us a name? Why do we have to make a name? For ourselves? Because we're going to build this tower, we're going to show people what we can do? It should have been unto the glory of God. Let us make a name, lest we scatter abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And in the fifth verse it says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will restrain them. Nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. They're going to just go on and on. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. He didn't want them to build this tower. He didn't want them to take pride in themselves for this. Oh, we're going to let everybody see what I've done, what we've done. We talked about it last week. Pride. Vain glory. God doesn't want these things in our life. What he wants from us is obedience. He's given us the word of God. He's given us his laws, his commandments. All we have to do is follow them. But the people always turn back to the things they want to do. Even as the children of Israel, 400 years in captivity, but yet when God took them out of captivity, what do? They build an idol. They build an idol to worship. Down through the ages, we've seen how they've done this. They've made idols of stone, idols of marble, idols of gold. God was trying to take them out of these things. How many times did he have to speak to them? How many times did he have to show them that he was the only living God? We thank God today that we speak one language, that we can understand one another. We can understand what God has for us to do. And thank God, I thank God for this church, for the dear ones here, for the unity that God has put in our hearts. May we keep it always, working together for the best of for God's people. We are his children, dear ones. The people were industrious, and that's not wrong. They learned how to make things, and that's not wrong. But to take the glory unto themselves, that's where it's wrong. We cannot take the glory unto ourselves. God gives you the ability to do something that's wonderful. But give him the thanks for it. He's always there for you and me. He always guides us and always leads us. God told him in the 7th verse, go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Why didn't he want them to understand one another? Because he didn't want them to go on with what they were doing. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build a city. They didn't build it. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. They began speaking other languages. They did what they wanted to do. They went abroad, building, searching the country, finding their own ways. And then you had the cities that were so disorganized, Sodom and Gomorrah, Nineveh. And what did God have to do? He had to destroy these cities. Why? Because of disobedience. Disobedience. He wants us to understand what he's trying to tell us, dear ones. To be obedient, it's better than any sacrifice we could make. To do what God wants us to do, better than any sacrifice we could make. Just to do his will. We have his commandments, we have his laws. Why do we have to put anything in it that's not pleasing to God? Just continue to do the things that he wants you to do. And not say, hey, I've got a good idea. Let's do this now. Is it out of the will of God? Pray about it. Think about it. If it is, we don't want to do it. We don't want to do it. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 1. It's a very familiar psalm to all of us. Blessed is the man, the first verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We don't have to seek the advice of the ungodly. We don't have to go looking for different ideas. We have the ideas right here in this book. Whatever God has for us, it's right here in this book. We don't have to go looking for other things. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Not just on Sunday when we come to church. Not just on Tuesday nights when we come to church. But every day of the week. I was talking to a brother this morning. And we talked about how important it was to come to the house of God. This is where we gain our strength. And I told him, brother, I was reminded of some story that I heard, that this man said that he went to church for 30 years. 30 years he went to church. He says, I can't remember one sermon that was preached. I didn't learn anything. The other man looked at him and said, you know what? I've been married for 30 years. And I couldn't tell you one meal that my wife cooked for me. But I know they nourished me. I know they made me stronger. I know I was able to go to work to do the things I was to do. That's what the Word of God does for you and me, dear ones. It strengthens us. It gives us the strength to go on. And if we go on with him and in his laws and meditate day and night, that doesn't mean you got to be on your knees all day. Doesn't mean you got to have the Bible in your hand all day. You can go around and you can think about the things of God and you can pray in your mind. You don't have to be on your knees. Because it's so important for us to keep the things of God close to our hearts, close to us at all times, that we might not be drawn away. If the enemy gets a hold of something, he's going to use it against you or me. We have to be able to fight back as Christ did when he was tempted. He was using the Word of God. When the devil tempts you, come back to him with the Word of God. He cannot overtake you. He is under our Lord's feet. He's a captured enemy. And with the strength of God, we can go on. We can go on. The third verse says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The trees, they grow by the river. They get that nourishment from the water. They can grow and they stretch out their roots and they feed. I've mentioned the story of the sequoia tree many times. The sequoia tree is one of the largest trees in the world. But the roots do not grow very far beneath the ground. They're very close to the surface, but they grow in a grove, these trees, and they hook on to one another. They grab the other one's roots and they hold on tight. That's what our roots have to do, dear ones. We hold on to each other's roots. We strengthen each other. You are my strength. You are my strength. God is our strength. We are strengthened by one another, dear ones. When you have a problem, we pray for you. When you have an illness, we pray for you. The work is done by God, but we are the ones who bring it before the Lord. Let us be like those roots, growing together, holding one another tightly, that we may not be torn down by the winds and the waves of life. God is our strength. He's who we turn to. The people that tried to build the Tower of Babel was for vainglory. What we try to build, dear ones, is the work of God. We do his bidding, we multiply. We turn our backs, we fall. Let us remember, dear ones, he's watching us. The fourth verse says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff or the husk, which the wind blows away." Doesn't need the husk. It covers the fruit, but when it blows away, it's gone. The fruit is left. We don't want to be as the husk. We want to be as the fruit and grow and be nourishing to one another. "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." God is telling each and every one of us that as long as we work toward the things that we should, the work of God goes on. Let us be as the sequoia tree and work together for the things of God. Let us flourish in the love of God and what he has for us. And believe me, he wants to give us so much. Let us work together and do the things that God wants us to do. And not worry about how this has got to be done or how that's got to be done. God has the plan right here. This is his plan. One of these days, we are going to go before the judgment seat of Christ. I want to hear him say to me, "Thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." Isn't that what you want to hear? Yes. I thank God for his word, for how he encourages us, how he's with us every day, that nothing can harm us. It goes through his hands first. Oh, thank God for his word. Thank God for his love. In the name of the Lord be praised.